I want to teach on the Word. Those of you who...
I'm sorry. We'll have to figure that one out.
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
Okay. Those of you who have sat under Dr. Revel's teaching have no doubt heard him say many times, it's the Word, the Word, the Word, and nothing but the Word. Well, that's what I want to teach on tonight. So Psalm 119, 105. We just heard this in a song. It says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jeremiah 15:16. Many of you probably know this by heart. It says, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So, doesn't mean he chewed on the book. It means he was so into the word that he just devoured it. Like you read a book and can't put it down, you devour it. That's how he was with the word of God. Excuse me, back to Psalm 119. Go to verse 50. It says, This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It's made me alive. The word of God makes people alive. After all, God spoke the universe into being. Go to verse 11 in Psalm 119. It says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's why he hid it in his heart, so that he wouldn't sin against God. And in verse 42, Psalm 119, it says, So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Now, these are all benefits of the word. It lights our path. It's the joy and rejoicing of our heart. It has made us alive. It's so that we might not sin. And it gives us something to answer him that reproaches us. Now, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Jesus had the devil come to him and tempting him, and he was definitely an adversary to Jesus. But what did Jesus answer the devil? In every situation, he answered, It is written. Every one of his temptations. That's why we put the word in our heart, one of the reasons, so that we have wherewith to answer him that reproaches us. So, what does the word say about what we can do with the word? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16. You know, the word is not just to be in the book or just to be in our head. The word of God that's in the book does you no good. In fact, the word of God that's in your head doesn't even do you a whole lot of good until you start to do what the word of God says to do. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and I believe that's a mistranslation. Because the Greek says, God breathed. It wasn't that God inspired somebody and he just wrote down what he thought God wanted him to write. It's that God spoke the words, and the people who wrote the word wrote down exactly what God told them to write. All scripture is God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly perfected, or furnished, throughly furnished, unto all good works. Deuteronomy 4:2. So since this word is God breathed, since it's so valuable for all the things that we talked about a few minutes ago, here is a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, that is actually repeated in several different places in the Bible, all the way including in Revelation. It says, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." So you don't add to the word, you don't take away from it. This is very important. If you're running toward a cliff, and God says, stop, and you say, well, I think he just means for me to slow down a little. Is slowing down going to help you keep you from running off the cliff? No. And God's commands are like that. He gives us commandments basically for our own good. But we need to take what he says exactly as written. We don't take anything away from it. We don't add anything to it. Okay, the purpose of that is that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. The purpose of getting his word right is that we may keep the commandments. So what things does he want us to do? What are the commandments? Well, his commandments are not grievous. 2 Timothy 2:15, not a grievous command. It says study, or in the original it said do your diligence. To show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do your diligence. I see where they get study. You're not going to actually be able to do your diligence to rightly divide the word of God by listening to a few teachings in fellowship during the week. You have to sit down. If you're really going to do your diligence, you have to sit down. You and God and the book. Now, I'm not talking about King James Version or any other version. We try to get back to the originals. We have concordances. We have interlinears. We have the Greek. We have the Aramaic. Jan's translated beautifully. And she has an interlinear out. It's also available on Amazon. But in order to do your diligence, to rightly divide the word of truth, you have to spend time, you and God and the book. That's the only way to do it. And look at Acts 17. In verse 11, it's talking about the believers in Berea. And it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." They searched the scriptures daily. They didn't just sit in a teaching and say, oh, that's a very good teaching. They searched the scriptures daily. They spent time, them and God and the book. They got into it. They did their diligence to show themselves approved and to rightly divide the word of truth. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. So, we spend time with God and the Bible. That's one thing he wants us to do. But in 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 13, it talks about another thing. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it says something that is unique in all the scriptures. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Well, what words are these? This whole section is talking about the return of Christ, how the dead in Christ will rise first, how we will meet the Lord in the air. So when somebody has died, when a believer has fallen asleep, what words do we use to comfort people? Well, many people these days say, sorry for your loss. Some people, even Christians, say, oh, he's up there smiling down at us. He's just laughing at us. That's not what the word says to say. It says, comfort one another with these words. So, I'm sorry, but sorry for your loss doesn't get it. Christ is coming back. The dead in Christ will rise first. We will meet the Lord in the air. Comfort one another with these words. Okay, what else does God want us to do? Turn to James 2. These are just a few things. They're simple. They're not grievous. But we need to do the word to receive the blessings of the word, to have that word light our path. James 2, verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Well, why are they saying, depart in peace, be warmed and filled? That seems a little strange. Ah, but maybe it's because that's how they ministered to people. Well, Jesus did something like that sometimes. Matthew 8:3. A leper came to Jesus and said, if you will, you can make me clean. Matthew 8:3, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean, be thou warmed and filled. See the similarity? In verse 13, the centurion went to Jesus. His servant was sick. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. So be it done unto thee. Be thou clean, be warmed and filled. But in Matthew 14, there was a whole big crowd listening to Jesus, and they were out in the wilderness, in the desert. And the disciples said, hey, these people are funny. These people are hungry. Send them away. Let them go into the village so they can buy food. Matthew 14:16, Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. You give them something to eat. Well, if we have the means to help somebody, you know, God doesn't always need a miracle. Much of the time, the miracle he needs is you. When you are going through your daily life, God wants something done, you can help people. You don't have to say be warmed and filled. Back to James 2. You don't have to say be warmed and filled. It says, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. We can give people things that are needful to the body. That's part of what we do. Okay, I don't think I'm on anymore, but I will finish anyway. James 2:18 says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So we do what the Word of God says to do, and the Word of God will be a light unto our path. It will be the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. It will quicken us, make us alive. It will help us to not sin, and it will give us something to answer him that reproaches us. So that's what I wanted to teach on. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all the blessings that you give us. And thank you for being there with us and helping us to walk with you each and every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.